John chapter 3, verse number 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. The verse I want to focus on is verse number 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from above, from heaven, is above all. I want to read that again to really emphasize this point, that he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Today I want to preach you a very simple message. This is nothing deep or profound, just something that the Lord just kind of dropped in my spirit I want to share with you. It's simply entitled, Where Are You From? Where are you from? So we're going to ask for the help of the Holy Ghost to preach this message as I always do. I always want to enlist his aid in the ministering of the word. As I was talking about in class, we were teaching on apologetics, and that we're speaking that when dealing with any audience, that the issues are not always intellectual, but oftentimes they are volitional. They are ones of the heart and one of the will and the motives. And that is what the Lord really wants to do with us today, is our heart and our motives in this regard. And if you've been struggling in relation to any particular issue, I want to encourage you with this message, and I hope that it blesses you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you and bless you again. We praise you for your word and for your exceeding great and precious promises. And we ask, O God, in your name, that you would have your way in this place. Move through me, O God, only as you can. O God, I'm just a man that can do nothing. But, O God, with men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, let the impossible become possible in this house. As your spirit manifests today, I pray that someone would be born again, that someone would hear the gospel and respond accordingly. Convict our hearts, I pray. Encourage us, exhort us, O Lord Jesus. Compel us closer to the cross to be more like you. We thank you and bless you and worship you and give you all the praise and the glory. And in Jesus' name, let the church, the living God, say, Amen. Amen. You may be seated. One of the first questions that someone will ask when meeting someone new, you'll ask all sorts of questions like, what's your name? And, you know, what do you do for a living? All those, you know, questions. But one of those questions that you typically ask when meeting someone new, or sometimes they'll ask you when you're meeting someone new, is, where are they from? Where are they from? Now, here's the thing. You have to choose carefully as to how you answer this. Now, this is, of course, a question of location, of geographical location. But you really have to kind of think about that question. Does one say where they were born and raised, or do they say where they currently reside? That's a question I sometimes deal with when people ask me, where am I from? Sometimes I'll say, well, I'm originally from Michigan. That's where I was born and raised. Or I could say I'm from Milwaukee because that is currently the place where I reside. And, of course, the situation or even the philosophy that you may hold will dictate as to how you respond to that question. Though it is a simple question, in a local context, it stems from one of the fundamental ontological or existential questions, which is the question of origin. As to how did I come into being? And though context influences the answer, one's philosophy is the true determining factor as to how you will answer that question. What your perspective as to when you start or where you begin. And it all goes back down to where do I come from, the origin of my beginnings. From the question of origin results the answers to other existential questions such as, what is the meaning of life? Or how do I know the difference between right and wrong? And what is my destiny? Is there life after death? Is there anything beyond this natural universe? All of those things branch off and stem from the question of where am I from? Where are my origins? Where are my beginnings? And where is my start? In relation to the question I postulated earlier as to where I'm from, when I'm asked that on a normal local basis, as I said, if I'm feeling more homesick or nostalgic, I'll say from Michigan. If I'm perhaps wanting, of course, to focus on my current mission where God has called me, which is here in Milwaukee, I'll say Milwaukee. But basically, you have to analyze the philosophy as to where would you say you start, where you would say you're from, your origin. And the thing is, the question of origin has great implications. It has great effects on how we conduct our everyday lives, as I've already stated, as the other ontological questions, they result from the question of origin. A very good example is from someone who also dealt with the question of origin, and because of his philosophy as to how he defined where his origins were, it affected his behavior. This person said this: if a person doesn't think there is a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges? That's how I thought anyway. I always believed the theory of evolution as truth, that we all just came from the slime when we died. You know, that was it. There was nothing. The person who made this statement was Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, if you know who Jeffrey Dahmer is, he's somewhat of a local celebrity because he's a serial killer and he is a cannibal and he murdered 17 young men in cold blood. And he says, the reason why I was able to logically and rationally justify such grotesque and egregious crimes was because of his understanding of the question of his origin. If we believe that we come from nothing, then nothing really matters. Morality does not matter. The purpose of life does not matter. And destiny does not matter. So why modify my behavior in relation to a being that does not exist? So this affected how he perceived everything. Once that foundation was altered, then it led him down this chasm, this detour into grotesque immorality, where he could justify and rationalize murdering 17 people because his philosophy is how he defined where he began was misconstrued and messed up. And we see also, even in our own culture, in our society, that because people have a wrong definition as to where they come from, they cannot fully address the answers of morality. They cannot impugn unto themselves any meaning to their or purpose to their life, which is why that our culture is so rampant with such immoral and grotesque behavior, why sin is legalized, why that we see so much wickedness running rampant in our society is because that people have a difference as to where they begin. Because your origins will also define your identity. How do you identify yourself? And from identity comes behavior and choices and comes action. So again, Jeffrey Dahmer's philosophy regarding his origin affected his perspective on the meaning, the value, and the destiny of life. It is the perspective on origin that is the foundation of all human behavior. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" When you remove from a person the idea that they are made in the image of God and their origins, their point of reference is a righteous and holy and loving God, only evil, chaos, and mayhem can result from it. As we see in any atheistic society, from communist China and also communist Russia, who are run by atheist dictators, there is mass murder and mass destruction of morality. From the Nazis, all of these were atheistic societies that abandoned the idea that their origins pertain to a God of intelligence and design. Instead, it came from themselves, that they became their own point of reference. And without that foundation, everything else became meaningless and wickedness ensued. Now, the Apostle John understood this premise, the premise of origins. His gospel and his epistles were written to fight against enemies from without and within that were attempting to undermine the very foundation of Christianity. You have to understand that when John wrote his gospels, he was not a young man. He was actually nearing the end of his life, possibly in his 90s. Christianity was about 60 years old, and now we have not only first generation Christians, but also second generation Christians. stuff. All the apostles, all the other apostles, all the ones who walked and talked with Jesus, they are all dead. He's the last man standing. And in the absence of apostolic teaching and intervention, heresy and false doctrines began to pervade and infect the church. On top of that, during this period of time, Domitian, who was a Roman emperor, began to persecute the church. And so the church was reeling from persecution, from attacks on the outside, and heresies and false teachers arising from the inside. The New Testament had not yet been completed. They could not just point to a book of reference regarding Christ and the new teachings of the church. All they had were letters that were scattered abroad throughout all of the Roman Empire. And so this, of course, bred an atmosphere for false teachings to arise. So the Apostle John had to basically right the ship and set the record straight and get Christianity back to its point of origins. He was fighting particularly against a false teaching called Gnosis, which deals with knowledge, that said that from it said that Christ was only a spirit. He was not actually in the flesh. Or that Christ was a man, but his deity only came on him in certain times to do supernatural acts. And so this denied the incarnation, and it fought against Jesus Christ being not only man, but also God. And so the thing is, John made it his mission that to really point people back to the origin, the beginning of what Christianity is, the foundation of Christianity. So when you compare the writings of John, say, to the other gospel writers, they are completely different whenever they're talking about where Jesus came from. Because Matthew, he starts off by saying that Jesus was a Jew and that he came from the lineage of Abraham. So he says that Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Jacob. And all the begats for 40-something generations, saying that Jesus' point of origin came from the Jews, from the first Jew. Now, Mark, he writes from the perspective of Christ being a suffering servant and focuses on his supernatural power. While Luke, he writes from the perspective that Jesus was a man. And so he starts from Jesus going backwards all the way to Adam, that Jesus came from man, focusing on his humanity, that Jesus was not a God who was aloof to our suffering, but became one of us and suffered as one of us. But when you get to John does not start his gospel with a genealogy. He does not start his gospel as a suffering servant, but he says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I'm sorry, that's Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Got my in beginning statements messed up there. But in a sense, that is still an accurate statement. That John's gospel, in a sense, was like a Genesis of the New Testament. And that it pointed people back to where Jesus' true origins was. It was not just of the flesh, but it was of the Spirit. In John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, here's something I want you to understand here. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the origins of Jesus. But John not only talks about the origins of Jesus, but he also talks about the origins of us. He talks about the beginnings of us. And John rightly states that Jesus' point of origin was not of human invention, but it was of supernatural design. He says in verse 13 of John chapter 1, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Jesus' point of origin was not just Mary. Even though that was the accusation that perhaps the Gnostics were saying, or even his proponents that he was facing, the Pharisees, for example, when Jesus walked the earth, that they said, we be not born of fornication, that you are born of human origin and illegitimately. But instead, John rightly states that Jesus' point of origin is supernatural. He did not just come from the earth or come from man's invention, but he came from God. Now, the word that's used in verse number 13, where it says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, is the Greek word geneo. And it means begat, be born, to bear, to gender, to bring forth, or be delivered. It's a very interesting word because it can mean to be born or to give birth or to create or to deliver out of. It has a dual meaning. I want you to remember that. So because of the gnosis that was going on, that was trying to say that Jesus was not truly divine, that he was just a man, John really hammered that Jesus' origins, where he came from, was truly supernatural. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, John says this, "If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is geneo, is born of him." He's making this point because he's also trying to get us to understand that Jesus' point of origin was supernatural, and so was yours. That Christianity is not just another ism, or not just a religion, or another man-made philosophy, but the point of origin for all believers in Christ is supernatural. So throughout his epistle, he starts pointing out that anyone who is having trouble trying to figure out where they came from, why am I in this, he starts pointing out the criteria, giving them a litmus test to show that you must be born again, and that your point of origin comes from something supernatural. 1 John 3:9 says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Again, the Greek word geneo. In 1 John 4:7, John says again, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is geneo, born of God, and knoweth God." As you can see throughout his writings, John keeps focusing on being born. I'm being born, about a point of origin. Now, with that understanding, I want to go back to my main text here in John chapter 3, verse 25. And I'm not going to be before you much longer. John 3, verse 25. Now, the context of this is that Jesus's popularity is increasing dramatically. He's becoming more popular, more affluent. His influence is expanding. And the disciples of John are a bit troubled by this, and they bring this issue of Jesus' popularity to John the Baptist. John 3, verse 25. "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." They're like, look, like, you started this thing, right? You started this whole baptism movement. And now more people are going to Jesus and his disciples to get baptized than you. What you got to say about that? You know, people always like to start stuff, right? He says something about your mom. What you got to say about that? You know, they're always trying to start stuff, right? They're always trying to point something out, try to create this rivalry that was there, or that was supposedly there. And so they're saying, he's baptizing more folks than you. And you're the one who started. Your name is John the Baptist. You're supposed to be the guy running the whole Baptist thing. You should be having more people than Jesus has. Verse number 27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." He's trying to point out something. I know you think I'm the one who started this thing, but I'm not the one who started this thing, for one. And anything that I have, it didn't come from me. I'm not the point of origin. Anything that I've received, it came from somewhere else, somewhere above me, somewhere supernatural. He says in verse number 28, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Now, John, he understood his point of origin. John the Baptist, he understood his point of origin as to where he was coming from, and he knew what his mission was to prepare everyone for the Messiah's reception. Now, look what he says here. He says, "I've got to decrease, but he must increase." And the reason why is because he is the foundation from which I'm even doing what I'm doing. Verse 31, "He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." Now, John is saying here, the Greek word for above is anothen, and it means from above, top, from the first, from the beginning. Now, again, John the Revelator, the one who's writing the epistle and writing the gospel, his whole thing now is pointing people back to the point of origin. Always going back to the point of origin. And he keeps talking about how even our point of origin is about being born again. Now, I want you to go back a few verses. Go to John chapter 3. Go to verse number 3. Very famous verse. You all know it. Jesus is responding to a question from Nicodemus. Nicodemus is flattering Jesus, saying, oh, you know, you're a rabbi and all this stuff, and there's no way that anyone could do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus totally ignores that and makes this statement. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to point out something here. The word born is geneo, the word that we've been seeing throughout John's writings. The word again is the word anothen. It's the same word that John the Baptist used to describe Jesus' point of origin. So this verse where it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, it can also be translated, except a man be born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that the King James did a good job and got it right in saying again, because if you look at the next question that Nicodemus asked, he's like, how can a man enter into his womb a second time? However, the other translation also fits in that it's not just being born again, because whenever we talk about being born again, we talk about it as an event. We also forget that it's also a location. The point of origin of my birth is supernatural. When I was born again, or should I say born from above, it was not at 1881 Greenlee Avenue in Benton Harbor, Michigan. It came from heaven. It's not just an event. It's a place. It's my point of origin. And because my birth is supernatural, my purpose is supernatural. My understanding of right and wrong is supernatural. My destiny is supernatural because I've been born from above. What did John the Baptist say in John chapter 3 verse 31 concerning Jesus? He said, he that cometh from above is above all. Is above all. Now look at Matthew 27:50 to really give you an understanding about this above thing. When Jesus was crucified, something very interesting happened when he died. Matthew 27 verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the anothen, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Whenever we say someone is being born again, we are telling them they are being born from above. Now, why is that so important? Now, remember all the things that John said in his epistles about what it really means to be born again, or being born from above. That someone who's born from above, they do righteousness. That someone who's born from above, they love their neighbor. He starts giving this litmus test. But I want to encourage you why this is so important for us to understand the position and the point of origin of our supernatural birth, the new birth. Because it will propel you through the most difficult circumstances. When you get yourself into a fight and you want to give up, you need to remind yourself why you started in the first place. Where did I come from? Where's my point of origin? My point of origin was not in a physical location. My point of origin is from above. And because I'm from above, I have a tactical advantage against the enemy. I've got the high ground when I'm fighting against the enemy. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I run into a tower that is high above my enemies, that gives me an advantage to wage war against all the onslaught and the attacks of Satan himself. I'm from above. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. I want to encourage you, those who have been born from above. You are struggling and you're fighting and you're wanting to give up and throw in the towel. Tribulation and mayhem and chaos and atrocity and calamity is running all over and rampant through your life. And you're wanting to quit. It's time to remind yourself where you come from. It does not come from your genetics or your DNA, because spirit, believe it or not, is thicker than blood. Because when Jesus' brothers and sisters came to see Jesus and they say, hey, your mama and your pop and your brothers and your sisters are here. And Jesus looked at him and said, these are my brothers and sisters. Anyone who does the word of God is my brothers and sisters. So I want you to understand that your point of origin, it comes from above. Stop looking at your pedigree or lack thereof. Maybe you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. That's why you had to be born from above. 1 John 5:1 says this, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is geneo, born of God. You have to understand why this is so critical. The whole reason why John was writing was to point his audience back to Christ and showing that Jesus was incarnate, that God became man, that God's spirit, God's essence, his presence dwelt inside of man. And those who believe in him will also experience a supernatural birth that causes his essence to live inside of you. And the enemy is fighting against that. That's why the test for knowing if a spirit is of God or not is to ask it whether Jesus has come in the flesh, because the spirit of Antichrist always denies that Christ came in the flesh. Because if Jesus could do it as a man and defeat the enemy, it gives us the example that we can do the same things as well. That's why John said in 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Back to 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? When you realize that you come from above, you realize that you've got the spirit of the overcomer. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The litmus test for the believer is, are we overcoming the world? Are you overcoming the world? Are you overcoming the sin that is in this world, or is the sin overcoming you? Are we overcoming the worldliness and the wickedness and the perversion that's in this world, or is it overcoming you? Because if you're truly born again or born from above, you're fighting from a tactical advantage, and you should be winning the war. Now I want to break this verse down just a minute here. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born or geneo of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Now, the Greek word there for victory is Nike. Yeah, that's where the shoe company got its name from. Nike is the Greek goddess of victory. And of course, John is writing in a context of a Greco-Roman society where they worshiped all sorts of deities and goddesses. And the thing is that Nike, she basically oversaw competitions, wars, battles. And if you won, then you got the victory from Nike. The thing is, though, John is trying to correct this misunderstanding of where your victory comes from. And so he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the Nike. This is the true victory. It doesn't come from a goddess. It doesn't come from your intellect. The point of origin is not your strength. It comes from the Lord. And it comes from the fact that you've been born from above. So I ask you the question, where are you from? Where are you from? Where's your point of origin? Now, here's the thing. Here's what the devil tries to get us, all right? When we were asked, because your situation is going to ask where you're from. Are you from this world? Are you from heaven? Your circumstances will test you on that particular fact. Where are you from? If your answer is from the flesh, then he's got you. He's got you. He can dominate you in the flesh. But if we mortify the deeds of the body through the spirit, then we are going to live. If we redirect and point our point of reference back to heaven, that's where the victory comes from. Remember, I said that whenever you answer that question, the thing that influences it the most is the philosophy that you have. Where do you see yourself start? Where do you see yourself begin? If you're truly a Christian, then it should begin when you became a new creation in Christ, where all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And from that vantage point, we then fight against the temptations of the flesh. From that vantage point, we fight against discouragement and depression. From that vantage point, we fight against corruption and unholiness. From that vantage point, we wage war against the devil, because we've been born again. We've been born from above, and we have the victory. Let's sin. I'm quitting. I told you it wasn't be very long. Where are you from? If you can't answer that question, will determine all the other questions. It will determine what you think about the meaning of life. It will determine how you decide what is right and what's wrong. And of course, it will definitely determine where you're going after death. Where are you from? That's what the Holy Spirit is asking. Where is your point of origin? If it isn't heaven, then God wants to change your address. God wants to change your situation. Now, I also want to say that some people, they start the Christian faith with bad origins. Some people came to church because they didn't want Jesus. They came to church because they wanted to date. Or they just wanted to be in a club, or they just wanted a title. Now, if that is your point of origin, God has asked you to change it. And say, have a new point of origin, that now you're from your destiny, your address. It starts by believing in Jesus Christ as being truly God, as being your Savior, as being your Creator. And when you believe in Christ, truly, that you'll be filled with His Spirit. And that you will have the spirit of the overcomer inside of you. I believe it's in Romans chapter 8 verse 37. It says, nay, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor height, nor principalities or powers or things or present or things to come, or death nor life or demons or angels, is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where is your point of origin? Because the enemy has done all he can to get you to forget where you truly come from. I know, here's what he tries to do. He tries to get you to think that you came from that mess that Jesus delivered you out of. That's not where you begin anymore. The old me's dead. The new one has begun. I'm a new creation in Christ. That is your point of origin. And so even if you started this thing with bad motives, don't look at that as your point of origin. Look at the point when your motives change to be true. Look at the point of origin as being the place where you first truly believed in Jesus Christ. God has asked you, where are you from? And then where are you going? Where are you from and where are you going? Your philosophy will affect the answer. And I want to encourage you today that the victory that you're looking for, it comes from understanding where you were born from. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything we have, it came from above. And because the Bible also says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, our conversation is in heaven, that we are in a place, a position of victory, not defeat. When you step into the ring with the enemy, or you step into the ring against your temptation, or against your sin, or against your circumstance, you step in the ring knowing, because I am born of God, I overcome the world. Jesus said, be of good cheer, even though there's much tribulation in the world, because I have overcome the world. You're fighting a battle that is already won. What the devil tries to do is to psych you up that you haven't won it. Last thing I'll say, I'm going to open up these altars here. During the Crusades, there was a castle that the Islamic fashion, they couldn't basically get into. They couldn't get into this castle that was being held by these knights and Christians and so on. And so they decided to use deceit to try and get in the castle, to conquer it. And so they wrote a fake letter from the castle's commanding officers saying that they had surrendered to the enemy. And when the people in the castle read it, they believed it, and then they surrendered. And so the Muslim group conquered this castle without a single fight, because the castle that was there believed the wrong report. Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe as far as where you come from? Is it the secular humanists and the scientists who say that you came from an amoeba or a piece of slime or from some random explosion that happened millions of years ago? Are you going to say that you came from an intelligent God that created you in His image, in His likeness, and shed His blood for your sins that you could find true salvation? Now I'll tell you how this whole thing starts. It's just like John the Baptist was preaching. John the Baptist, he baptized unto repentance. And repentance is the start as to how you get born again, where you have to confess that you're a sinner and say, I need Jesus to come and save me. And this change that you're looking for does not come from a self-help tape. Dr. Phil cannot counsel you out of this. He cannot get rid of your sins. I don't care how many Maury Povich shows you watch. No, this intervention, this change, this transformation is supernatural. It comes from above. It does not come from Prozac. It does not come from your intellect or your education or your career or any other relationship. It comes from above. And just as Christ from the top down tore the veil, Jesus wants to tear down the strongholds of the enemy that have been entrenched in your life. But it starts first with repentance. It starts first with you coming to the altar and coming to the cross honestly and sincerely and yielding yourself to Christ and say, Lord, I am a sinner who needs salvation. And I tell you right now, if you do that in faith, that's what the scripture says, that he that believeth on me, John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, that he will fill you with his spirit and cause you to become a new creation. Is there anyone here that wants to be born from above and be born again? The wonderful thing about this salvation thing is it is an event and it's also a place. It's a point in time, but it's also a point in space that you can be born again, can be born from above in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I open these altars today. If you want prayer, you want to receive Jesus and receive of his spirit. Hallelujah. We open these altars for you to come on forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone? Thank you, Jesus.